TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's raised by wolves.
So it's our full evaluation of prospects going in the draft. Anything you can think of from an evaluation perspective here in games and testing, medical combine, there's interviews going on. It's A to Z. It's a full evaluation of this draft pool and the opportunity to get your eyes on the guys who are going to be in the NBA next season.
That was Garrison Rosas, Wolves P.O.B.O. Pobo, President of Basketball Operations, whatever you're okay with me calling him. I'm Rami Makhlouf, along with Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill, other side of the glass. This is Raised by Wolves, and our Wolves talk coming your way on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. And we do have some Wolves news to discuss here off the top. Boys, yesterday it was announced that Garrison Rosas made his first major hire after the Ryan Saunders hiring and making him full-time head coach last week. He named the inventor of the ESPN trade machine.
It is an incredible tool.
As his right-hand man, Sachin Gupta, who comes over as the assistant GM of the Detroit Pistons to join the Wolves as executive vice president of basketball operations, the number two behind Rosas in the organization.
I don't necessarily think that the experience of him in Detroit is the thing to look for here. I think that the fact that he spent some time in Houston under Rosas and Daryl Morey, and then some time in Philadelphia under Sam Hinkie, and he did invent the trade machine, as you brought up. I think that those are more notable than the year as the assistant general manager of the Pistons. But he was a big reason for a lot of the trades that the Philadelphia 76ers made that put them where they're at today. I think this is a hiring that there's plenty of reasons for fans to be excited about him coming in.
For those who don't know, like I just said, he came over as the assistant GM of the Pistons. But besides that and inventing the trade machine for ESPN, he's also an expert in the salary cap, collective bargaining agreement, and a guy who's been very involved in the process-oriented analytics that was made popular by Daryl Morey and crew, including Rosas out there in Houston. So he comes off that same tree, so
I think, to speak. Another thing worth noting is the player valuation aspect of things is that he has done an awesome job determining what players are right now, what they're worth, and what they can turn into, and how and what players are best where you can get them when their stock isn't as high as it possibly should be, if they're not being used in the right way. I think he's a big proponent of that, and that's something that we could see the Wolves maybe taking a couple gambles on some guys that have underachieved for the most part and seeing that they could turn into something else here.
Manny, your thoughts on the signing?
I like it. I mean, I think what it shows is that this team, for the first time in a really long time, if not ever, is being really, really, really forward-thinking. I mean, I think Garrison Rosas understands where this team is at and where he would like for them to be, and he is bringing in the right people that he believes can get them going in the right direction, not just... You know, can we make the playoffs in 2020? You know, how do we make the playoffs in 2020? Certainly they would like to do that, I would imagine, but they're thinking beyond 2020. They're thinking 2021, 2022. How can we build this team to a point where 3 years into Karl Anthony Towns' new contract, we're competing and we're in a position where we can potentially keep him in beyond the current contract that he's in now.
And I think it's kind of a fair thing to say that for the most of the history of this organization, they've almost been 2 or 3 years behind the rest of the NBA in the way that things are done. And that's not the case now. And that's a big deal for the Wolves.
And they've been, throughout the course of the history of this organization, for the most part, they've been either bad or spinning their wheels on the outer edges of the playoff picture, which is... Those two places are exactly where you don't want to be in the NBA.
Yep.
And I think that going back to what Manny was talking about, by bringing in Rosas, by bringing in Gupta, it appears that they're actually trying to build the foundation for something sustainable and not just thinking, okay, how do we get into the playoffs this year and hopefully convince people that we're actually trying to win games and buy tickets?
It's a very creative way to go about business in the front office, and I think it's the right move. They've been a very traditional organization that clearly hasn't worked out for them, but now they're moving in more of a creative way. And the hirings that they've made, I think, lend a lot of reason for optimism surrounding this franchise.
a couple of moves he's been involved in and heavily involved in, maybe even the main catalyst in them, depending on who you listen to. Back in 2010, when the Rockets traded Tracy McGrady's expiring contract to New York as part of a three-team deal that got them Kevin Martin from Sacramento, Martin became one of the main pieces the Rockets would use in 2012 to go ahead and get James Harden from Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. In 2015, he was a major catalyst in the deal when the 76ers, and this is directly from John Krasinski's article, fleeced the Kings by absorbing the contracts for Jason Thompson, Carl Landry, and Nick Stauskas in exchange for the rights to swap picks in both the 2016 and 2017 drafts and a future first from Sacramento. The Sixers only had to part with the 47th and 60th picks in the 2015 draft to do it. They exercised the swap to get the number three pick in 2017. Then after Hinkie left, new GM Brian Colangelo used the ammunition from that deal to move up from 3-1 and take Markelle Fultz in 2017.
Yeah, that's how the Sixers could have gotten the number one overall pick this year, was the result of that trade, because when they did trade the ammunition from that to get up to number one to pick Markelle Fultz, as you said, they protected it number one overall when they sent it to Boston. So that's why Boston's picking 14th this year, despite obviously being a playoff team. But had it been number one overall, Philadelphia still would have benefited from that trade as late as June 20th when the NBA draft is.
And I think this is part of the reason why they brought Rosas in, because a lot of the success and what they've built there in Houston was done through trades. I mean, acquiring James Harden, getting Chris Paul. A lot of that roster are guys who were playing for other NBA teams. The Rockets saw something in them and brought them over and got more out of them. I think that's how the Wolves are going. That's the fastest path to getting back to relevance, is it not?
Well, and if you look at the guys that they've drafted in Houston, it's not exactly a great list of players.
Right.
They haven't killed it during the draft. Yeah, they got Clint Capella at 25 overall in 2014, and Montrezl Harrell in the second round was a really good pick. But other than that, there are a lot of guys on this list that didn't really do much for Houston or are not part of their core now. They've built that team through trades and through smart bargain free agent signings that they saw guys that weren't doing what they could be doing somewhere else and said, we can turn you into something better here, and they can get those guys for cheap.
And that's what it's going to take for the Wolves. That's the type of process that it's going to take to get this team back to where they want to be. I mean, they can sit in the lottery for the next couple of years, and if they hit on those picks, that will certainly be helpful. But again, I keep saying it, when you look at where they're at financially, they're going to have to get really, really creative to give themselves some potential flexibility down the line.
What do you guys think this move means? And if you want to chime in, 651-646-8255 or tweet us at Score North. Rosas is very aware. Like he, one of the first things he did was he went and met with the business side and tried to get a read on where this fan base was at. And he knows that he has a challenge ahead of him in terms of winning back Wolves fans and the skepticism that they have when they look at this organization. And I don't think he did himself or the Wolves any favors. Not to say that it was the wrong move, but just as far as perception goes for Wolves fans who think, well, same old, it's Glenn Taylor sitting up in his office and calling the shots and maintaining a country club atmosphere. The hiring of Ryan Saunders, that strengthened that perception.
Sure.
Whether or not you believe Rosas made the hire or whether Glenn Taylor made the hire, I can see why people would be skeptical and think that the power was taken out of Rosas' hands in the first major move that he had to make in naming his head coach.
Totally.
What does this move say to Wolves fans?
I think that it's a move that there's no way Glenn Taylor was a part of hiring for this. This was all Rosas. And I think that it's one creative, because you're going after a mind that has had a lot to do with some really creative moves that have helped a couple of different NBA franchises. And for the spot that the Wolves are in, they're going to need creative moves to get back on top or to get near the top or to get where they want to go. They're going to have to be creative because they don't have financial flexibility. They're not going to be a team picking at the top of the lottery year in and year out. So they're going to need to be creative and build the way that some of those other teams have. Now, I don't think that we're going to see something quite like the process what the Philadelphia 76ers did, where they just tore it all down and they got as bad as going 10-72 in 2015-16. But I do think that we'll see them take some gambles on some guys that are maybe not thought of very highly across the league, and they'll be signing guys like that, like a Gerald Green, who was out of the league, and then he becomes a very serviceable role player in Houston. You're going to see stuff like that in Minnesota, I would bet.
Manny, do you think this wins over any Wolves fans who were skeptical of whether or not Gerson Rosas and all this was actually a new beginning and something different than what we've seen in the Wolves in the past?
I think you're always going to have the cynics, that a handful of people that are just going to be like same old Wolves, that no matter what they do, it's going to be the wrong move and everything like that. But I think I don't think you should look at this situation in a vacuum. I think you really have to look at who these guys are, what, you know, where they came from, how they had success with where they were at. And I think you have to imagine that the plan for this team is going to be, you know, a similar sort of route in terms of just how you build this up and how you get this going in the right direction. And I think you have to sort of look past. I mean, listen, Gerson Rosas has nothing to do with the previous 30 seasons of Timberwolves basketball.
Right.
He has nothing to do with that.
But at the same time, because I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. I feel like that's easier for me, having just got here in January, than it is for Wolves fans who have been here their whole lives. And if I'm a Wolves fan, if I'm one of those skeptical Wolves fans, I say, yeah, Rosas had nothing to do with it. But the guy who's really pulling the strings and calling the shots, he's still sitting up in that owner's office.
And that's very fair. Yeah. And to be honest with you, to be honest with both of you guys, the same thing was said when Tom Thibodeau was hired 3 years ago. It was the same sort of thing. Well, like, well, Tom Thibodeau had nothing to do with the previous, you know, 20, even though he was on Bill Musselman's staff back in the early days of the franchise, but he was just an assistant. But the overall thought was, well, Tibbs has nothing to do with what's been going on with the Wolves for the past three decades. And then we saw how that turned out. So there is that side of it too. But I just personally, I like the idea. I don't know how good these guys are going to be.
Right.
But I like the idea of what they could become.
Yeah, when we were talking about both the Rosas and the Saunders hire on Mackie and Judd with Rami, both Mackie and I took, and it's weekdays 4 to 6 here on Score North, or listen to it anytime on the Score North mobile app. Subscribe to all your favorite podcasts. Give us those 5-star ratings.
Wonderful plug.
But what Mackie and I both look for, if it's a guy who's never had that job before, whether we're talking about president or coach or whatever the case might be, and I'm okay with first time hires. Not every guy that my teams hire have to come with the long resume and the rings, because everybody starts somewhere, and I'm okay with finding the next guy rather than recycling and it's the same old good old boys club. So
Steve Kerr had never been a head coach before he coached the Warriors.
Exactly.
He did have experience as a GM though. Sure. It's not as if he hadn't been around the league since he was done playing. He was in a fairly successful front office.
But when a guy is hired in that role who's never really had that role before, I just look for qualities, and we got down to calling it, do they check off boxes?
Sure.
And Rosas and Saunders check off most of the boxes that I was looking for in the hires for those positions. But does that mean that they'll be good at the job? No, it's not a sure thing, but I like the hires because they check off those boxes. They come with those qualities and those traits that I would look for if I was making that hire.
You can't make judgments on these hires right now. There's no possible way to do it, because if you do it, you're not giving it a fair chance either way. You can't say that it's a good hire. You can't tell me right now that Ryan Saunders is absolutely a surefire good hire, but you can't tell me he's a bad hire either. You can't say the same about Rosas either. You can't tell me he's the best hire, but you can't tell me he's not a good hire either.
All I can tell you is I like the hire because they check off boxes.
That's fair. That's a very fair way to look at it.
Characteristics that you're looking for.
That's a very fair way to look at it.
Do you guys have any question as to whether or not he did make the Saunders hire?
I do not, because I don't think that he would have interviewed the people that he interviewed had it just been determined that it was going to be Ryan. I think that it would have been. I don't think that the interview process was a charade.
Manny?
I think that if it was going to be Ryan Saunders, if Gerson Rosas didn't have a say in this, then I think Ryan Saunders would have been given the job regardless. And there would have been, nobody would have been interviewed or talked to or anything like that. I think it was a legitimate search.
But you don't think, but there is a chance that they did that just for perception's sake? Because there are a lot of people out there who would jump to the conclusion you did.
I don't think so. I think Ryan was the front runner. And I think it's fair to say that he was the front runner, but I think that it was a legitimate search. I do.
I don't think that Rosas would have wasted the time of a couple of the candidates that he did talk to had he not been seriously interested in them as the coach of the Wolves.
Okay.
I don't like Chris Finch, who is the he's an assistant coach in New Orleans, and he has spent a lot of time with Rosas throughout his career. I don't think Rosas would waste his time. I don't think Rosas would waste Darvin Ham's time. I just don't think that that's the way he does business.
I've wavered on this because, like I said, I want to give Rosas and this new era of Wolves basketball the benefit of the doubt. I really do. But at the same time, I'm not completely clueless to their history and how things have worked there in the past. When they first made the hire, I thought the same thing you did, Danny. He wouldn't even take this job if he didn't have the power to hire his own head coach, because
sure.
he already walked away from one job with the Mavericks.
Yeah,
with, where
because
he didn't have
the power
he didn't
that, he,
have
thought
the
he,
power that he thought he would have. So I said, I'm going to give Rosas the benefit of the doubt. I think he made this hire of Ryan Saunders. But when he came out at the press conference for Ryan Saunders and so felt the need to so emphatically tell us that it was his hire and no one else's, when somebody feels the need to go out and do that, it has the opposite effect for me. I don't know about you guys. It makes me go, really? I believed you until now. Why are you denying it so fervently? Why do you feel the need to come out and make this denial so strongly?
I mean, that's a fair thing to say. And at the end of the day, there's no way to prove one way or the other.
Right.
We're never going to have proof that, oh, he was mandated to bring Ryan in, or we're never going to have proof that this was actually his hire. It's going to be subjective. It's what you choose to believe. I think that it was a very legitimate coaching search, but I understand if someone doesn't.
But the hiring of Gupta makes me sort of
waver
over to the other side, because if you're going to give him, if you're going to give him the immunity to hire his own right hand man, then it only makes sense that you did the same with the head coach, unless there was some sort of compromise made where he sat down with Glenn Taylor and Taylor was like, look, keep Saunders, do what you want with Taylor.
You mean with Layden?
Layden, I'm sorry.
Layden is still part of this organization,
right.
as far as we know.
As far as we know.
But we do know that if Gupta is going to be the right-hand man, and he's not the first person that they brought in, because they hired Gianluca Pescucci, I believe is how you say it, from Brooklyn, the same day that Ryan Saunders was hired. So it's not as if this is the same front office with a different figurehead. It is a drastically different-looking front office already, and I think it's fair to say that Scott Layden went from being the top basketball decision-maker after Tom Thibodeau was fired to now, at best, fourth in the decision-making process.
So we'll have more on that hiring the more we learn about it here on the Raised by Wolves show on Score North on 1500 and scorenorth.com. I'm going to spring this on you guys here real quick for what I wanted to do in the next segment. I know we didn't talk about this beforehand, but I just had an idea.
You asked me what I wanted to talk about today. I said basketball.
Right. So I'm going to come up with the more specific ideas for the show. So Sachin Gupta, he invented the trade machine,
yes,
as we talked about. And did you guys see the report out of Houston earlier today that Daryl Morey is saying basically everybody is available on the Rockets roster? Didn't even go as far as to say James Harden isn't available. He basically said, we will explore, and I'll have the exact quotes for you in a second, or the story for you in a second. He basically the reports are they will explore all avenues.
Although they did
to
say
make that
the
roster better.
The report from Adrian Wojnarowski did say that it is very, very difficult to envision James Harden being part of anything.
So do you guys want to have, since Sachin Gupta was hired and since Gerson Rosas came from Houston and has that relationship there that often will facilitate a trade, how about some ESPN trade machine fund next and see what kind of deal we can all swing between the Timberwolves and the Rockets?
I actually think it's only fair if we also include the 76ers and the Pistons.
I mean, if you want to get really complicated.
Because if Gupta was in both those places, I think we have to explore all avenues.
Dude, I'm not even going to lie. And this might hurt my credibility doing what I do for a living. Once you start going to 3 and 4 team trades, my head just starts spinning. I really don't have the mental capacity to make all that work. I don't know if that makes you think lesser of me if you're listening right now to Score North, but I'm just not smart enough to coordinate all that.
Well, the beautiful thing is that the machine does the math for you.
It doesn't matter. It still gets way too confusing for me. I'm always sitting there at the end going, wait, now who gets who? Where is this guy going?
Well, I'm
adding the Sixers and the Pistons to this list, man.
All right. I'm going to keep it simple and just keep it between the Wolves and the Rockets.
All day, baby.
Wow. You guys are much smarter than me. That's why they put me in a room with you and don't give me a show all by myself. It's Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com, the Score North mobile app. Some ESPN NBA trade machine fun between the Wolves and the Rockets right after this.
Score North.
Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com. Love Minnesota sports? Check out our package. ScoreNorth.com.
It's Raised by Wolves on Score North on 1500scorenorth.com. We'll get into some NBA Finals talk coming up here in the final segment at about 1:40. But in the first segment, we were talking about Sachin Gupta, who was hired as Gerson Rosas' right-hand man, executive vice president of basketball operations, and the inventor of the ESPN NBA trade machine. Now, that, along with the news from Adrian Wojnarowski today, which says Rockets general manager Daryl Morey has made entire roster and future draft picks available in trade talks, a dramatic initiative with hopes of reshaping the team into a championship contender. The possibility, he says, of trading all NBA guard James Harden is believed to be extremely limited, but the rest of the roster, including even Chris Paul and Clint Capella, could be more realistic trade targets, sources said. So, with the news that Gupta was hired, inventor of the trade machine, Rosas and Gupta have ties to Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets, could facilitate a trade. Manny and Danny wanted to throw in the Raptors and the Pistons because Gupta has a history with those two teams. We thought, let's have some ESPN NBA trade machine fun and see what kind of trades we can work out between those two, three, or four teams.
Do you have a four-team trade ready for us,
Rob? No, man. I told you. I'm not smart enough to swing four-team trades. Right now.
I've got one that the trade is successful.
Let's see if I can follow along.
Okay. This trade involves Houston, Detroit, Minnesota, Philadelphia. All four teams sending someone out. All four teams getting someone back.
Go slow.
The Houston Rockets receive Jimmy Butler, Gorgie Jang, John Luehr, and Dario Saric. The Detroit Pistons get Chris Paul. The Minnesota Timberwolves get Eric Gordon, Luke Kennard, and Jonah Bolden. And the Sixers get Reggie Jackson and Kyrie Thomas.
So who did the Wolves come out of this thing with? Again, I told you I wouldn't be able to follow. Who did the Wolves get?
Eric Gordon,
uh-huh.
Luke Kennard, and Jonah Bolden.
Okay.
And we're reuniting Chris Paul and Blake Griffin.
Yes. Lob City 2.0.
Yeah, because they loved each other.
Oh, yes.
That'll definitely work out.
The Wolves get off Gorgie's contract.
I like it.
That would be so hilarious.
It would never happen because Philadelphia wouldn't do it, but
that'd be so hilarious to watch CP3 and Blake Griffin reunite.
Sign me up.
It'd be so comical.
He wouldn't have to find the secret tunnel to the locker room to fight him. They would just be in the same locker room. So a four-team trade.
Yes.
And the Wolves end up with, again, tell me?
Eric Gordon, Luke Kennard, and Jonah Bolden.
And who do they trade? That's all we care about
for the purposes of this show. They give up Gorgie and Dario Saric.
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Of course you would, but that trade would never happen. No. Philadelphia.
This isn't about whether or not it would ever happen. I'm looking at a trade right now that'll never happen. Is that stopping me from proposing it? Hell no.
It would take Jimmy Butler opting into the final year of his contract for it to happen, and which he's not going to do.
But that's all right. Manny, do you have one? Mine is very basic.
Back to the drawing board.
Back to the drawing board for Dan.
I had one drawn up, but it didn't work financially during the break. So I'm reworking on a four-team trade right now.
I have one here. And really, every trade that I tried to put into the ESPN NBA trade machine was just trying to get rid of Andrew Wiggins. that's my stated goal here, to get rid of Andrew Wiggins.
The deal I was trying to put together during the break was the same thing.
He's the first player that I click on when I'm putting together these trades. This one worked. The Minnesota Timberwolves would get Chris Paul, and you got to give up Andrew Wiggins and Robert Covington.
I would not do that one.
No?
No.
Really?
Really.
I would do that in a heartbeat.
I would not.
Just to be out of that contract.
No, because the Chris Paul contract is also pretty bad. It's one year less.
3 years left on it.
But you're also going to be paying much more money on it.
Maybe he'll retire.
He's not. I would not be retiring. If I am Christopher Paul, I am not retiring making $35 million a year over the next 3 years.
And I damn sure ain't going to walk away from making $40 million when I'm 37.
Yeah. Hell no.
Give me that money.
By the way, you are giving up Robert Covington so you can have the skeleton of Chris Paul play.
So I can be rid of Andrew Wiggins.
No chance.
That's why I'm doing that.
No, not worth it.
And it's probably a bad deal because
I'm telling you right now.
I didn't even know this was possible. It apparently makes both teams worse. It's according to Hollinger's analysis, the Wolves would be -6 wins and the Rockets would be -3. Yeah, so back to the drawing board for me as well.
I do think that that's a little bit broken, but it's still kind of funny.
All right. Manny, have you come up with one yet that works?
I'm still working on it.
I got one that works. Okay, the Hollinger's analysis is broken because I just traded Andrew Wiggins to the Rockets.
Yeah.
In return, I got both Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker, and the Wolves got one worse.
Mm.
And the Rockets stayed the same. I don't think so.
All right. Can we get Clint Capella? Has anybody That's worked out a deal to get Clint Capella?
I'm trying to get Clint Capella on the
I don't
Wolves
think
right
they
now.
Need Clint Capella, though. If you are trying to raid the Rockets in a trade machine scenario, I think you're going after Eric Gordon. I think that he's the best asset that you could
I think I have something here. I think I have something
realistically
here.
Get.
Let me click try this trade. I think it works. It is. This one works. Clint Capella and Eric Gordon straight up for Andrew Wiggins.
Would you rather
Who says no?
Would you rather have I think I would rather have PJ Tucker than Clint Capella if I'm the Wolves. Just because of fit. Because
it's a better fit.
Okay. I think I would rather take PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon for Andrew Wiggins than Eric Gordon and Clint Capella. Because you've got Carl. You don't need another big. You've got Dario Saric. You've got a ton of guys in the front court. And they can all shoot. And you can play PJ Tucker at the five. You don't need Clint Capella for
and
the Wolves.
And you'd be out of Tucker's contract sooner than you'd be out of Capella's contract.
He
has 3 years, 2 years left, and Capella has four.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see if I can work something and get PJ Tucker in this deal for you, Danny.
I mean, I did Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker for Wiggins. It works.
Oh, you did already?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's what I was just
The Wolves somehow got worse by the Hollinger analysis, but they're better in my book.
They're better just for being rid of Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
That's really all this comes down to for me.
I love the trade machine.
That's my stated goal in trying to make this deal work between the Wolves and the Rockets and whoever else may get involved. Manny, have you had a successful trade yet?
No. Putting together a four-team trade is so damn
hard. How hard is... Well, yeah, that's why I
Danny,
told you.
Danny, how the hell did you do this? Well, that's because you're on the trade machine all the time.
I'm not on it all the time. I'm on it more than you.
Sometimes
but,
he's on Tankathon.
Yeah. Come on. I haven't been on the trade machine since February. I've been on Tankathon since then. I am waiting for that to update. I don't know if it's updated. I want to start simming for next year's
Tankathon. Draft lottery. You can't have a tanking standings when the season is... Not even in hasn't even started yet, can you?
Oh, I can't.
I don't think you can.
I will Tankathon will be working before next season starts. It's not ready yet, but I will be able to sim a lottery before next season starts.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Have you done this before?
Oh yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know about Tankathon until I met you.
Because I was in Cleveland when the Cavaliers traded Kyrie Irving for the Brooklyn Nets pick.
Mm-hmm.
With the Boston Celtics, so Tankathon became a favorite site.
Makes sense.
It's, damn it.
Makes sense why you'd have a... Tell us what you're trying to do over there. Walk us through it like they do on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
This is totally out of this world.
Would you like a lifeline?
I just can't get the money to work, right?
The James Harden?
No. It involves Jimmy Butler and Blake Griffin, though.
Both of them here?
No. I'm trying to get Jimmy to Houston and Blake Griffin to Philadelphia. And then the Wolves would get Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker and some other. But the money, and I got Wiggins going to Detroit, but I can't get the money to work right.
Hmm.
This is very frustrating.
I thought you were good at this. Before the break, I was the one who was bad at this.
I'm good with remembering numbers, but I'm not, I don't know. I
was not told remembering which ones work.
Yeah, I was told there'd be no math, man.
Can you get anybody to take Chris, not Chris Paul, Andrew Wiggins' contract from you? Do you think there's any way possible you can find some? And if you listen to Rosas, doesn't sound like he has any interest in doing that.
I think it's possible.
You do?
I think Miami's a team that would.
Miami.
Maybe Memphis, but Miami too.
Why do you say that?
Because who runs basketball in Miami? Who is in charge?
Pat Riley.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone with a bigger ego in the management side of basketball than Pat Riley?
No.
Pat Riley thinks that everything he touches turns to gold. Miami's got a bunch of really bad contracts. None of them are as bad as Andrew Wiggins, but they have a bunch of below average players signed to slightly above average contracts. Guys like Deion Waiters and Kelly Olynyk that are not $11 or $12 million a year players, but get paid like that. So with that being said, Andrew Wiggins worth $25 million a year. You can trade him for Kelly Olynyk and Deion Waiters. You might have to attach a draft pick, but that probably gets it done because Miami, and this also, Miami needs to strike out on free agency. And that needs to be a thing that happens. And they don't have money, but they can't work anything else out. And then if that happens, they're looking for their next star. They've been looking for their next star for a while, really since Dwayne Wade's decline, since LeBron left. They've been trying to replace that. And if they can find a guy with potential like Andrew Wiggins that they think they can turn into a star, maybe they take a gamble on it.
I could see that. Because you're right. Pat Riley's ego might win out there and thinking that I can fix this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And then if you bring back a Kelly Olynyk and a Deion Waiters, you have, instead of one big massive contract, you have two smaller, still bad contracts, but contracts that would be easier to move down the line.
Yes, exactly. There, you are separating and you're dividing Andrew's contract into two. And if Andrew's contract were divided into two, it would be much easier to move than it is right now. So you're not, I'm not necessarily saying that Deion Waiters and Kelly Olynyk will, one, be good for the Wolves, or two, ever play for the Wolves, but they become much easier to move than Andrew Wiggins, and you can start ridding yourself of the headache of that contract.
That would be nice if you could swing that. But I kind of buy Garrison Rosas when he says, and again, going back to the conversation that we had in the first segment of the show, I don't know if this is Garrison Rosas saying this or if this is him being puppeteered by Glenn Taylor on some level when he says, look, if I went out on the trade market or free agency, I'd be hard-pressed to find a guy with the tools and talents of an Andrew Wiggins. Why would I want to let go of that?
Give it time. Give it time. You'll have reasons soon. Don't worry.
You think a Kelly Olynyk could help the Wolves a little?
Yeah, he could. But they also, they don't necessarily need him. That's not a position where they need him. They've got a lot of shooting in the front court. That's what Kelly Olynyk is. I think Deion Waiters could help them a little bit because he's a creator, but I also think that it probably makes more sense to divide Andrew's contract in two and then try and do something there.
I'm currently, I'm wading into the waters of a three-team trade.
With who?
Well, I have the Timberwolves and the Rockets involved. I'm trying to find a third team for a strictly salary dump trade of Andrew Wiggins, where I'm also willing to package up Robert Covington.
I think Robert Covington's a lot to give up.
I do too, but you're going to have to give up something to get somebody.
I'd rather give up a pick.
I'd rather
really,
because Covington's on a cheap deal. He's on a deal that
4 years, $10.5 million
for what he's worth. Yes,
he's their best defensive player.
He's the second most important player on this team,
and it's really not even close.
Defense secondary in today's NBA,
but he's a wing defender. He's a versatile, he can defend multiple positions. I don't think you can
say it's secondary in today's NBA when we saw what just happened with defense in the Eastern Conference Finals.
In the regular season.
And he's also one of the few guys on this roster that can actually stretch the floor a little bit for you, too.
He is everything. He is the model of the player that Gersan Rosas and Ryan Saunders and this organization should want to surround Karl-Anthony Towns with. I think that Carl is untouchable right now in trade talks, and I think Robert Covington is not quite untouchable, but he's up there. He's the second most important piece they have.
There was talk and speculation and discussion before Robert Covington got hurt that he was going to be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
Yes.
That's how much he impacted this team on the defensive side of the floor.
I mean, you're
it was
we're
it was
talking
a
about a guy that he was first team all defense last year.
Look, I'm not saying Robert Covington is not a good ball player. I'm just saying you're going to have to package something with Wiggins to get rid of that contract.
I'd rather give up a pick.
I think a pick is more.
I'll explore that possibility as well.
I think giving up a pick is smarter.
So I'll see if I have a deal for you to unload Andrew Wiggins. And I'm going to try and make it like we've been doing pie in the sky stuff here so far. I'm going to try and make a realistic trade for a salary dump of Andrew Wiggins. That is my number one priority in this deal. And see if I can make it work during the break. We'll have that for you. And also talk some NBA finals. I'm sure Danny's going to rub it in a little bit more like he did during Cluster Fun.
Rub what in?
That the Bucks are out.
You said you weren't worried. I just asked if you were worried about their chances of winning the finals.
It's Raised by Wolves. I don't like you. We're on Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app.
Stand back. We don't know how big this is going to get. Scorenorth.com.
Score North has a podcast series called Minnesota Sports Rewind, where we go back and do deep dives in some of the most prominent moments in Minnesota sports history. Right now, you can find episodes on Twins Tigers Game 163, And Twins A's Game 5 from the 2002 ALDS. It's Minnesota Sports Rewind on scorenorth.com, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts. Rami?
It's Raised by Wolves here on Score North on 1500, scorenorth.com, and the Score North mobile app. You can also listen to us live, live.scorenorth.com. But really, the easiest and best way for you to listen to us is through that mobile app, which is available in the Apple and Google Play stores. You can listen live and on demand via the app. And the longer you listen live, the more points you rack up for potential rewards. Because we love you, the Score North mobile app is also a one-stop shop for all written content on scorenorth.com, including Danny's thoughts on the Minnesota Timberwolves leading up to the draft.
And there are many.
Just a little ways
there
away.
There are many of those thoughts.
How far away are we from the draft?
The draft is June 20th, so we're a little...
3 weeks.
Right around three and a half-ish
weeks. I think 3 weeks exactly. Today is the 29th. Oh. So if it's on the 20th, that's 21 days away. That's 3 weeks, according to my
calculator. I was told there would be no math.
Which is what Manny said during the break, after he failed to come up with any successful trades.
Three weeks from tomorrow, there are 31 days in May.
Ah, damn it. Cool, but that means my rent is due a day later, so that works.
Yeah.
That works out.
Not till Saturday.
Another day to scrounge that money up.
Yeah, that I'm not going to get any more between now and then, but another day.
You find a way. I was, and I'm going to keep on doing it while we sit here and discuss the NBA Finals, and Danny rubs in that the Bucks got eliminated before my very eyes as I was there in the Deer District watching
it. Oh, you went to the Deer District?
Yes, I was watching it.
What did you think the whole time? Like, did you just know that it was going to end poorly?
No, I thought when they were up 14, I was like, okay, they're going to do this.
I never thought they were.
I hate you.
Why?
Because of that smile.
What did I do?
Because of that smile that you just had when you said that.
It's not my fault.
You take so much joy in my pain.
It's not my fault that Giannis Antetokounmpo can't shoot.
He can't.
He can't shoot.
He's not a good shooter. And I think it got in his head.
It did get in the
stage, the pressure, the situation. Maybe
I told
it was
you
the
after,
Toronto crowd.
After game three, I told you Giannis was shook.
Drake, maybe it was Drake.
Drake had him shook, man.
Drake might have had him shook. I don't know what it was, but something definitely was in his head, especially at the free throw line.
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
Kawhi
my fault.
So good
it's not my fault the Bucks have an 82-game coach and not a 16-game coach.
You know, Wow. You just got to keep rubbing salt in these wounds, don't
it's
you?
It's not my fault.
I mean, it's not, but do you have to keep rubbing salt in these wounds?
No.
I
choose to, though.
And I can't hate you for it. I would do the same. Yeah, I would absolutely do the same.
It's not my fault, man. Not my fault Nikola Mirotic forgot how to shoot.
I don't know if I forgot how good Kawhi is or if I just never realized how good Kawhi is.
No, we as a basketball society kind of forgot just how dominant he is as a basketball. I mean, I think right now he's the best player in the world. I absolutely believe that. I think that what he does on both ends of the floor is unbelievable. And it's really impressive to watch.
And he basically did not play last year. I mean, he played, nine games last year? And
yeah,
he missed
73 games. And that's why we forgot that Kawhi Leonard was finished top three in the MVP race in 2017.
And it was like the fourth quarter of these games in the Eastern Conference Finals. It was like he was going into a phone booth and coming out Superman. And I don't know if that's just him stepping up to the situation or if he's sort of got his foot off the gas pedal for the first three quarters and he's saving himself for when it counts most. But something switched for him in the fourth quarter of those games and he would just take over.
And let's not forget, the last time we saw Kawhi Leonard playing at this level or even close to this level was 2 years ago, game one of the Western Conference Finals, Spurs at Warriors, and the Spurs were up by 25, and then Kawhi lands on Zaza Pachulia's foot, and that completely changed the entire landscape of that series.
That's right.
Otherwise, Kawhi Leonard was balling out, man.
Has he gotten better, though? Like, since we last saw
in
him
terms
with the
of
Spurs,
just how good he is.
Is this a better player?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. He's currently at the height of his basketball abilities. We are watching Kawhi Leonard in his prime right now.
Are we not laughing at Max Kellerman anymore for saying he was better than Kobe? Is there a case to be made for that?
I mean, Kobe
just
did
two
it
series
longer.
Later?
Kobe also, Kobe wasn't as clutch as we make him think, as we tend to believe he once was. Like, in the final minute of playoff games, where you have the opportunity to take the lead or tie, I believe Kobe was 5 for 22 shooting. Like, that's not super clutch.
That's not great.
So Kobe is a figure that fills us with nostalgia. Was in a really big cultural icon.
I mean, that Heath Ledger story.
Yes. But also, maybe Kobe wouldn't have been as good, I don't think, in today's NBA. And sure, he would have adapted, but to make him sound like one of the most clutch players ever is just not the case.
I don't
like,
want to say overrated, but
I will
say it.
I will. This is how I would word it when we talk about Kobe Bryant. I feel like the myth is bigger than the man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree with that.
And I'll go ahead and say overrated. I think Kobe was a great player. I think he was a great player, but I don't think that he belongs in the conversation with the Michael Jordans or the LeBron James's players like that. He was a great player, but I don't think he belongs. And I think sometimes, especially Laker fans, want to put out this idea that he belongs in that category because they'll fall back on, well, five rings, but he was not the best player on the team for the first three of those five rings.
Yeah. And here's
Shaquille O'Neal.
Here's the stat I was looking for. So game tying or go ahead field goals with under 10 seconds left in a postseason game. Kobe Bryant was 5 of 22 in his career. Michael Jordan was 7 of 15. That's 47%, which is really good. LeBron James currently 12 of 23 for 52%. Again, really good. Like, he's not in the same conversation there.
Not at all.
Not even close.
How much of it do you think it is, in terms of our perception of Kobe, that he was so similar to Mike in body type and style of play? And I mean, he would literally, I heard this story when he first came into the league, he not only watched game film of Michael Jordan and tried to emulate his moves and his style of play on the court, he would watch interviews of Michael Jordan and try and emulate him in interviews and at press conferences in terms of his tone and his rhythm and the way that he spoke or the way that he sent messages to his teammates or the other team through the media. I mean, he studied Michael like a book and tried to be Michael Jordan. And I think because he was successful in that in a lot of ways, like I said, stylistically, body type, he reminds us a lot of Michael.
Watch how he shot free throws.
Yeah. I think
like a mirror image of Michael.
I think that added to the lore and, like I said, made the myth bigger than the man.
He's like a Costco version of Michael Jordan. That's what he is. And there's no shame in that. He's a Costco version of Michael Jordan that was fortunate enough to play the first however many years of his career with one of the most dominant players that the game has ever seen.
He's like if a guy was selling you Jordans out of his trunk downtown. Where you
wouldn't buy them, though.
You know they're probably not Jordans, but they look close enough, and they're only $60. All right. Do you know what I mean?
As someone who absolutely does enjoy shoes, like, I know what you mean, and know you should never, ever do that.
Like, the Jumpman logo is missing a foot. But, I mean, they're $60. They're $60.
The ball's missing. The ball he's holding out isn't there. But, you know, what the
best,
hell?
The best Jordan knockoffs that I've seen are that we should talk about the finals, which start on Friday. The Jumpman logo sewn into the tongue of the shoes, because of the way that the seaming was done in the logo, it was stitched into the tongue of the shoes. It looked like it made the imprint of a butt.
That's awesome.
Like the Jumpman logo had cheeks.
That's amazing.
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. It was great. Now, the NBA Finals tip off on Friday. I have come to the realization in these playoffs that I don't know if it's contrived by the media to give us something to talk about when we have 2, 3, and 4 hours to fill on a day-to-day basis, or if people legitimately keep falling for it. I can't even tell you which one of those two camps I fall into, but I'm done doubting the Warriors on any level. They are going to win this series. I have zero doubt in my mind that the Warriors are going to win this series. Are we all in the same camp? Are we done doubting this team? Have we come to realize just how great they are and unstoppable they are as long as this core is together?
I'm not doubting this team, but I also don't think it's far out of the realm of possibility that the Raptors win the series. Toronto's a really, really good team. And the Warriors, they have a giant question mark with Kevin Durant, because I think that they're better off either if Kevin Durant is ready to go or doesn't play at all. But if there's a middle ground there, that really would worry me if I'm the Warriors, because it's going to take a little bit of time to adjust back to having Kevin Durant on the floor. They play differently when Kevin Durant's out there versus when Kevin Durant's not playing. there's a difference in the style of game that they play. So having to readjust in the middle of a series to that would be a tough thing, especially say Toronto wins one or two of these first two games, which they have at home. It's the first time in the Steve Kerr era that the Warriors have not had home court advantage in the series. We don't know how they'll respond to that. I'd guess they'll respond well, but say the Raptors are up 2-0 or tied 1-1, and then say Kevin Durant comes back. Maybe it gets a little bit easier because the Warriors lose a little bit of rhythm. Maybe the Raptors find a way then. That's a serious question mark. If the Warriors were 100% healthy throughout this whole series, yes, I would have no doubt that they would win. But because of the question mark of who's coming back from injuries and how they're going to be able to assimilate back, that would worry me a little bit. I'm not giving the edge to the Raptors in this series by any means of the imagination.
You're giving them a chance, though?
But they've got a chance.
I don't think they do, Manny. I really don't.
Listen, I will pick the Warriors to win this series because they're the favorites and because it's the Warriors, but I think Toronto's got a shot, and I think that if Kawhi Leonard continues to play at the level that he's been playing, particularly in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think Toronto's got a realistic shot. Now, it's going to take that, and it'll probably take a couple other role players to step up and contribute as well. Danny Green, you know, what can they get out of Danny Green? Can Kyle Lowry, who we saw perform a little bit better in the Conference Finals, those guys need to step it up a little bit too. But I think Toronto's got a shot.
Yeah, I think they do. I give them zero chance at all. The only way that I see Toronto winning this series is if Kawhi Leonard has the type of series where by the end of it we're all going, oh, that's the best player in the world, like hands down.
I mean, I'm going with that after what he just did. No,
but I mean, like that will be the declaration by the basketball world. Like,
I think that's incredibly possible after what we just saw. I don't see how you can doubt that happening
because he had Giannis to slow down.
Yeah,
in the Eastern Conference Finals, slow down Steph. Klay Thompson is going to hit his shots.
I do think that the Raptors are, especially with Durant out, I think that they are kind of, it's interesting how they can match up defensively against Golden State, because what they've done is they have put Kawhi Leonard on, for the most part, in the first two games against Milwaukee, they didn't do this and they switched to it in game three. They have put Kawhi Leonard on the offensive initiator. For Milwaukee, it was Giannis. For the 76ers, it was either Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons. Now, Ben Simmons is not the shooter, but he's still the offensive initiator because that's how you slow down the point of attack. For Orlando, it was DJ Augustin or Aaron Gordon. Here, with no Kevin Durant, it will likely be Steph. You might see Kawhi Leonard on Steph Curry to start the series tomorrow night. And then going off of that, you've got Danny Green, who is a long wing that can guard Klay Thompson. You've got Serge Ibaka, who's long. You've got Pascal Siakam, who's long. Marc Gasol is a very good defender for a big guy. This is the best defensive team that the Warriors will see throughout this finals run. This team defense for the Raptors is better than any defense that the Cavs had.
But this is also a better defense than the Raptors have run into, is it not?
No. Milwaukee's defense was the best defense in the NBA. This is the worst defense that the Raptors have run into.
Let's not forget, too, this series is a Steph or Draymond injury away from completely changing.
Now, that would completely change it.
It would completely change everything. Yep.
This has been Raised by Wolves. If you missed any portion of this show, search Score North Wolves wherever you download podcasts. We're also available on Spotify. And go get that Score North mobile app. It's free. And download all your...